Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Today I'm going to be speaking on the mathematics of love. If you want to define mathematics is the science of numbers, quantity, and space, either as abstract concepts. And when you deal with them as abstract concepts, numbers, space, structure, change, quantity, when you deal with them as abstract concepts, we call it pure mathematics. But when you deal with them in relation to other disciplines, like engineering or physics, we call it applied mathematics. Now that is for those of you who are interested in maths. But that word mathematics is a Greek word. And that Greek word is mathema. And it means learning, study, or knowledge. Learning, study, or knowledge. Mathematics. So anything can be mathematics. Anything can be geometry. I keep telling people that when you study mathematics and you like it, you can understand anything, including fashion. Because you see, a mathematical brain is the most blessed brain you can have. So when you are mathematical, you understand patterns. When they put accounting figures in front of you, you can understand it. Because mathematics has to do with space and structure and change. So you understand many things. Listen, those of you who are young people and you don't like mathematics, repent. Therefore, when you see anything that has to do with quantity, numbers, structure, space, change, you are dealing with mathematics. And the love of God has got its own mathematics. And today we want to understand the mathematics of the love of God. And Paul prayed and said, I want you to come to the place where you can comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. That is what I'm calling the mathematics of the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being grounded and rooted in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Everybody say the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in talking about the mathematics of the love of God, you and I know that when we multiply length times breadth, what do we get? Area. Length times breadth times height. Or depth. If you do length times breadth times height, or length times breadth times depth, you get what? Now, the Bible talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. Multiply length times breadth times height times depth. What do you get? Now you cannot get area, you can't get volume. So the love of God passes all understanding. You cannot talk about its area and you cannot talk about its volume. So the mathematics of the love of God states as follows, that you cannot determine its area and you cannot determine its volume. I can't measure the volume. I cannot measure the love of God. It is endless. It is weightless. It is heightless. It is depthless. I pray that you begin to understand it. That is the love that can overwhelm you. It is bigger than your understanding. Bigger than your understanding. So Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And the Ephesian church was one of the most spiritual churches that Paul pastored. And he said, I am praying that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. That means love should be able to saturate you. To the point that it has consumed your person. Listen, everybody say the law of test. Every mathematics has got an exam. And you should constantly examine yourself where you stand in the mathematics of love. You must be grounded in the love of God. That thing should be in you so much that even if you see a mosquito dying, you'll be worried. You see, there are some of us here, we have no feeling for human beings. No, we have no feeling for anything. We have iron heart. That's the way some people are. It's a very powerful thing. So Paul is saying, you should be rooted and grounded in love. When you see somebody who can fight with their wife for 2 days, 3 days, and they are not talking, they are not rooted and grounded in love. Every war in this world is the result of lack of love. Every disagreement is the result of lack of love. If we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, there will be no war or disagreement in the world. The whole world will be together. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, verse number 18, may be able to comprehend, and that word comprehend does not mean only understand. When you say comprehend, for many of us, it just means understanding. But from the Greek word, that word comprehend does not mean only understand. It means to attain, it means to obtain, it means to possess, and it means to seize. That you will be able to comprehend or apprehend, obtain, attain, possess, and seize the love of God until you become a symbolic manifestation of the love of God. You should walk so much in love that when people see you, you are like love personified. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, everything is love. When you speak even the truth, it is in love. You rebuke, it is in love. You are smiling, it's in love. Even when you are crying, you will cry in love so much that people begin to laugh. Because everything about you has an intention to give to somebody. Can I say this? May God bring you to the place where everything you do in life makes somebody better. Everything you do, it makes somebody what? Better. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you want to be filled with the fullness of God, you have to know the love of God. You cannot live a fulfilling life in God without comprehending the love of God. The scope of the love we receive determines the scope of the love we can give. You cannot give what you don't understand or what you don't experience. The amount of love you can give is determined by the love you have experienced. That is why I tell people all the time, stop telling me too much of what the devil is doing around me. And tell me what God is doing. Because you see, if you tune my mind negatively, and I begin to think God doesn't love me, God has forsaken me, God has forgotten me, God has ignored me, what you are programming in me will determine the way I treat others. Because I will also start forgetting people, ignoring people, forsaking people, because that is the program in me. You cannot treat people better than the way you think God is treating you. That is why many people you see in this world, the way they treat people is because of the way somebody treated them. So when you begin to think, God has not blessed me, God doesn't love me, God has not visited me, that is the same way you treat other people. See a lot of bitter people in the world. And the reason is because they think God has not been good to them. But if you are walking about and thinking about the goodness of God and the love of God and the favor of God and how God has blessed you, how God has loved you, the law of reciprocity will take over. And then you begin to say, I have been forgiven much, so I also must forgive much. I have been loved much, so I also must love. The quality of your love you give to people is determined by the quality of the love you receive from God. Therefore, if you don't have a revelation of the love of God, and you don't understand how much, how far, how deep, how long God has loved you, you will not be able to love anybody. That is why, before you start attempting to love people, you must first of all meditate on the love of God. So Paul said, you have to comprehend it, you have to know it, you have to understand it, you have to experience it. And I pray that for 2016, God will make you experience so much love, experience so much acceptance, experience so much grace, experience so much giving, experience so much of the warmth and the embrace of Almighty God, so that it will be easier for you to love people. I like what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give up thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Such as I have, give up thee. Such as I have, give up thee. Such as I have experienced, give up thee. I hear Paul, my mentor, say, that which was delivered unto me is the same thing I give unto you. May you experience so much love from God, from your husband, from your wife, from your father, from your husband, from your son, from your daughter, from your nephew, from your children, from your friends, from the church, from the ministry. May you begin to experience so much love. I pray that the container that you have lifted unto God for love, may God fill your container. Fill my cup, oh God. Let me experience your love. Let me know it. Lord, I am a candidate of your love for 2016. Let me experience so much love that when it comes to giving to somebody, I will not struggle with it. Come on, shout a yes and praise God. Listen. When you even tell them, I love you, they don't understand it. There are some people too, that word has never come out of their mouth. I love you. And Paul is saying, I want you to experience. Because you see, these people are Gentiles. They had never really experienced the love of God. They were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. These were people who are not, remember, these Ephesians were not people who were part of the original covenant Jehovah or Yahweh had with his people. They were outsiders. Look at even when you join a church and you are new in a church, look at the way the older members look at you. So Paul is saying that you may be able, everybody say be able. Come on, shout it, be able. To comprehend, say be able. Now, whenever the Bible uses that word, that you may be able, it means that sometimes it's difficult to be able. It means it's not easy. God will love you and spoil you with gifts. People will love you and spoil you with gifts. It is your year of many colors, a coat of many colors. God will love you and make you a coat of many colors. I see you in a year. Your position will be defined and your honor will be given. Your gifts will be released and your reward will come to you. I see you in a year and a time. Your character will be established and God will give you divine approval. Approval with God and man. Come on, shout a yes and praise God. Thank you. That you may be able to comprehend with all the things what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. And when you see all this breadth and length and depth and height, you are likely to pass them over. I see the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God in this way. That the breadth of the love of God talks about the reach of that love. That God is in heaven. That God is holy. That Jesus is in heaven. That Jesus and God the Father are one. That Jesus is in heaven. Very God are the same in the Godhead with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. In Him all things consist. I see God in heaven. I see God with His nature as God. And all of a sudden, the God of heaven puts on the nature of a human being, and God became man, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I see His reach. That the reach of the love of God is so extending that God extended Himself from heaven to the earth. That is the breadth of the love of God. He extended Himself. The very fact that God did not only extend Himself, but the breadth of the love of God is said that wherever you are, He found you. Wherever you are, God found you. Oh, He found us in strange places. I don't know where He found you, but this, He found me. The breath of the love of God is said that God found me in the house of an idol worshipper. I was from the house of an idol worshipper, not a Jew, a Gentile. Let me start with this Jew-Gentile thing, that at that time, you were without God. Billion aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Who has a witness to this one? That this is the way you were. Now, that at that time, you were without Christ. Is there somebody here who was without Christ? Without Christ, you were an alien to the commonwealth of Israel. You were a stranger from the covenants of promise. You had no promise. You were without God. Verse number 13. But now, in Christ, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse number 14. For now He is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse number 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of the twain one new man, so making peace. Verse number 17, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Verse number 17, and He came and preached peace unto you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Afar off, the breath of the love of God. Look at where you were. Far, He found me in an idol worshipper's house. Oh, Jesus Christ, He came into heaven. And then from heaven He came into the earth. And after all that He had done, He went back into heaven, went into the Holy of Holies. And when He went there, your accuser was there. The devil was there. Your enemies were there. Your sins were crying out. He took His own blood. And He said, you know what? These are humans that have sinned against God. And if they have repented, they are worthy of forgiveness. And this is the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of earth. Declare their case, a foolish case. Devil, release them. Ordinances of the law, release them. The commandments of men, release them. I declare to somebody right now, you are free at last. The blood of Jesus has freed you. You were afar off, but the love of God has brought you nigh. That is the reach of the love of God. That is the reach. That is the reach. You were far. He found you. He found you. Some of you were in the disco. The place you were, where Jesus came to find you, the regional minister would never come there. Because the place is not nice. It was a disco. It was a prostitution center. A place where they were smoking marijuana. It was a place full of poverty and misery and debauchery and lasciviousness and licentiousness. It was a place nobody could open their eyes and look twice. But I see Jesus close his eyes. He said, this place is smelling, but I have come to take you home. This place is painful, but I've come to take you home. This place is ugly, but I've come to take you home. I don't know about you, but where I was, it was far away, and the breath of the love of God found me. Come on, shout yes and praise him. Look at where he found the breath of the love of God and the length of the love of God. Look at the length of the love of God. The length of the love of God has to do with the journey of patience. Everybody say the journey of patience. Come on, shout it again, the journey of patience. Scream it, the journey of patience. Look at the length of the love of God. Journey of patience. He had to take to save you. His patience. Look at some of you. The number of years you messed up in the world, he was waiting. The stubbornness of your heart, he was waiting. Thank you, Jesus, for waiting. Thank you, Jesus, for waiting. Thank you, Jesus, for waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for some of you, he waited 20 years. Some of you, he waited 15 years. Some of you, he waited for 40 years. And if I were you, I'd be shouting because he waited. I'd be thanking God because he waited. I'd be praising God because he waited. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man open, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Look at him. He knocked for a long time. You never opened. He knocked in the primary school. You didn't open. Knocked in the secondary school. You didn't open. Knocked in the university. You didn't open. You are finished, you are working, he's knocking, and you did not open. But at last, your heart opened, and he still came in. I'm talking to somebody now that God has been patient with you, and you will be patient with people. You'll be patient with God. You'll be patient with your wife. You'll be patient with your husband. You have been shown mercy, and you will also show mercy. He that is forgiven much, loves much. Come and clap your hands and scream it and praise God. Wherefore see that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Look at his patience. He's the author and the finisher. Look at the length of his love. Can I bring you this? God will never give up on you until he finishes. He doesn't start a project and abandon it. You are an uncompleted project. The project is not complete. He that began a good work in you shall finish it. He told Zerubbabel, your hands have laid the foundation. Your hands also shall finish it. Jesus said there was a man who was building a tower, and when he has to lay the foundation, he must count the cost before he builds the tower, lest after starting to build, he will not be able to finish and people laugh at him. But God forbid that Jesus will start a project in you and will not end it. I see your end is a good end. I see your end is a prosperous end. I see your end. You will run your race. You will finish your course. You will fight a good fight of faith. No devil can stop you. No principality can stop you. Henceforth will be laid for you a crown of righteousness, which your righteous judge shall give unto you. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and pray. It is very easy for people to confuse you. Some of you are worried about how your life is going to end. How your ministry is going to end. But hey, the long suffering of God, the length of his love will take you through. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, Who for the joy that was set before him. And you know the joy that is set before him? The joy that is set before him is that he shall see of the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. The joy that is set before him is that one day he will see you. Hey! I hear God say, I saw you through those battles. I saw you sometimes when you were giving up. Sometimes when you were crying. Sometimes when you thought you couldn't make it. But my hand was holding you. Through the valley of the shadow of death, my hand was holding you. You went through the fire, my hand was holding you. And through the water, and my hand was holding you. Congratulations. Welcome, well done. I hear God say, welcome and well done. 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 Welcome to heaven. Well done. Get ready for your reward. Get ready for your crown. I have a crown prepared for you. My patience walks you through. May God make you understand the length of his love. And the length of the love of God is that in the time of your affliction, his patience waits for you as it was in the days of Noah. When the patience of God waited for all those years they were preparing the ark. Can I bring you this information? You will not fall. You will not give up. You will not fail. You will not abort your vision. You will not abort your dream. For God loves you. Come and scream like your voice is yours and press. Only that for 1 year. You will have to determine that nobody will take you back. And even your own dreams will not take you back. Today, if you dream this night and see a snake, get up and say it was a necklace. Clap your hands. Oh, because sometimes after the word of God is preached, you will get some foolish dream like that. It's from the pit. To confuse and compromise. Do you understand what it means to confuse? And to compromise, you understand it? There are dreams that compromise the integrity of the word of God in your life. Abort it instantly. Don't even give it space to land. Despising the shame. And is set at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary in your mind and faith. Consider him. Look at the length of his love, the long suffering, the patience, the breadth of the love of God, the reach of the love. The length of the love of God, the patience, the waiting, the endurance. And look at the depth of the love of God. The depth of the love of God. The depth of the love of God is how deep he was prepared to sink in order to save us. He didn't only come to walk on the earth. He sank into the grave. He did not only sink into the grave. He found himself in the belly of Hades or hell just to save. That is how much Jesus loved you. The depth of the love of God. He went down there with you. Because thou will not leave my soul in hell. With neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Jesus is God. Son of the living God. The word become flesh. What does his soul want in hell? What does Jesus' soul want in hell? For your sake. Because you were to die and go to hell, he tasted death and hell for you. He went down there for you. He sank with you into the pit and the belly of Hades. Thou will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The Son of God died. They took the Son of God. They put him in a tomb. They embalmed him. Nicodemus and the women, they brought spices and embalmed the body of Christ because they were expecting a decomposition. Went into the pit because of you. Oh, Jesus. Look at the amount of disgrace you walked in through. You were going through the thing and people said, look at that Christian. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He followed you into your death, followed you into your pit, followed you into your hell, followed you into your shame, followed you into your disgrace. In all the disgrace, all the agony, all the pit. Sometimes you are in pain and he's in your pain. You are in agony. He's in your agony. You are broke and he's with you. You are sick and he's with you. You are dismissed from your job and he's with you. Your marriage is disturbed and he's with you. Your marriage has gone through divorce and he's with you. You have gone through all kinds of indebtedness and he's with you. You are in sin and bondage and he's with you. And I hear him following you and declaring, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. And I hear you say, God, I am finished. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I hear your enemy say, he's finished. He will never rise up. Nothing good can ever come out of him. His life is over. And I hear my papa say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I hear Jehovah. I hear Adonai. I hear God Almighty say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh God, look at your love. You went into my disgrace. You went into my pain. You went into my agony. When I go through pain, when I go through disgrace, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when I am broke, when I am in Christ, my best friends leave me. My best friends forsake me. They are ashamed. They run away from me. But oh Jesus, look at the length of your love. Look at the breadth of your love. Look at the depth of your love. Oh Jesus, in my hell you were there. In my pain you were there. In my sickness you were there. When I was broke you were there. I was on the border you were there. Oh Jesus, look at it. At the time when even sinners called me a sinner, the Holy God of Israel, the Holy God of heaven, you did not forsake me. Oh Jesus, look at the depth of your love. So Jesus, you were not ashamed of my status. You were not ashamed of my condition. When men forsook me, you were still with me. When they refused to go with me to prison, you were in prison with me. When I was eating just curry and pepper, you were still there with me. When I had to chew raw tomatoes because I got no food, you were there with me. Oh, the depth of the love of God. The depth of the love of God. When I was wearing rags and my shirts were all torn, you told me, give me one of the torn shirts. I will wear that torn shirt. Oh, Jesus. When I was naked, you were naked. I was naked and you came to me. I was sick and you came to me. I was in prison, you came to me. Lord, my best friends were nowhere to be found. My family was nowhere to be found. Church members, they shunned me. They look at me from afar and say, look at how God is punishing him for his sins. Look at how God himself is punishing him. But God, you said I will never leave you, not forsake you. This is my comfort, that though men forsake me, my God will never forsake me. This is my comfort, that when men say he is finished, I hear God say there is hope for the tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof shall not cease. I hear God say, through the scent of water, it shall sprout and it shall bud and bring fruit. I hear the word of God say, when you are in disgrace, when you are in the pit, when nobody wants you again, I want you. When everybody's rejecting you and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with him, God said, if you don't want him, give him to me. If you don't want him, give him to me. When my father and my mother should forsake me, the Lord will take me up. If my father, my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. I hear a rejected one saying, Jesus, I take hold of the length of your love. Oh, the length of the love of God. That length of the love. That love is long enough for you to take hold of it. I know you are in a pit. I know you are in a river. And the river is carrying you far away. But look at the length of the love of God. You can catch it. And you can come out of something. He lifted you up from the miry clay and from the horrible pit and set your feet upon the rock to say, that is why
I hear you shouting. That is why I see you dancing. That is why I hear you screaming. That is why I hear your presence come. The breath and the light and the depth of the love of God. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He descended. For your sake, he descended. Where you are, he comes to you. You are a shoemaker, he will come to where you are making the shoes. Some of us sell brooms. Some of us are owing, we can't pay. Some of us are sick and weak. The depth of the love of God, he comes down. And to comprehend the height of the love of God, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Finally, the height of the love of God, it points to the exalted realm. Exalted realm, this love raises us to. God has elevated us to sit together in Christ, in heavenly places. He did not leave us in our lowly conditions, but he seated us together with himself. Now, look at me. Two things about love. One of them is that for many people, when you go through crisis and you are in hell, they will leave you alone. Then there are others, they will be with you when you are going through crisis. But when they are promoted and they are elevated, they will not carry you where they are. But look at Jesus. He is with us in the pit. He is with us in hell. He is with us in difficulty. He is with us in suffering. He died because of us. So, Jesus had the risk. These people say they are redeemed. They are saved. Now, he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. And he says, Father, I am coming up, but I'm bringing captivity captive. I am exalting them. I am bringing them. I am bringing them. The Bible said, and you have seen quickened. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in Christ in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So look at you. You were a sinner. He came into the world. He died for you. He was in your condition. He was buried. He went into the pits of hell, came out alive, and declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now God the Father takes him and seats him at his right hand of throne, on majesty, on high. And I hear Jesus say to God the Father, I cannot sit here until they come and sit with me. I cannot enjoy this position until these ones I have saved come and sit together with me. And now I see Jesus literally smuggle you into heaven. You were smuggled into heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but by the word of God and by the spirit of God, you were renewed and you became a brand new man. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And you were purchased not with corruptible things like silver, but purchased with the blood of Jesus, born again by the blood, empowered by the spirit, quickened and transformed by the word, and elevated and captivated and taken into heaven. I see you right now, the love of God, the height of the love of God. When he went into heaven, he was not ashamed of us. He looked at you and said, you are my friend. He looked at you and you said, you are my brethren. Wherefore, he is not ashamed to call them his brethren and to call them his friends who come to God by him. I see him seated in heaven and he's telling all the angels, let him sit down. Let us sit down. I hear the angels say, this is just a human being. And Jesus is saying, they are not just human beings. They are the redeemed of the Lord. They are washed in my blood. They are sanctified qualified by my blood. They qualified to come into heaven. The middle wall of partition is broken. And these ones now, they qualified to sit with me in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Oh, I see you. Can you imagine that somebody becomes the president of Ghana and he carries you with him into the Flagstaff House? I bring to you a declaration. The highest of all places, Jesus will take you to the highest of places, the biggest places of promotion and honor and grace. I see God carry you there. Understand the love of God. Comprehend the love of God. Possess the love of God. Attain the love of God. Attain the love of God. Let the love of God fill you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are the beloved of Almighty God. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and pray.
I am your friend. We sell together.
But one day,
if you become the president of this country, can I enter your office? If I came to the earth, suffered all these things because of you, now went into heaven, and you are not yet perfect. How many of you agree you are not perfect? But he's already seated together in heavenly places with you in him. Now, listen, it's almost like before you pass the exam, you were in the university. Oh, if I was God, I would say, let me wait. If they are perfected, then they can sit in heavenly places. But Jesus is saying that, you know what, Lord? I trust them. I trust my own blood. And I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God and telling the Father, trust me. Trust me. Trust the word. Trust the spirit. He that began a good work in them will fulfill it. They will make it. Jesus is looking at you. You are the one worrying about your future. But for him, your future is secure. He will present you blameless to the Father.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.